Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Everybody, this is Carrie Oberbrunner with my friend and coach, Jill Young. How are you doing today, Jill?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks, Carrie.
Listen, you are fantastic. In fact, we are going to be talking today about the courage to keep going when you feel like giving up. Talk about the world today. I mean, don't you feel like people today are giving up? Some?
I'm very fortunate. I have surrounded myself with really great entrepreneurial companies like you. I'm in entrepreneurial groups. And so me, when I look out at the world, I do not see people giving up until I look outside of my circles, or I have a chat with maybe an old friend. Happened to be with my family a couple of weekends ago, and there's some people in the family that are like, oh no, I want to give up. So I do realize I'm in this little bubble of non-giver uppers.
Yes, I like that term. I like that term.
Make up words.
Yeah. I like the term. So
we're all tempted.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we have Carolyn from Chicago. We have other people jumping in. Go ahead. Tell us where you're from. You're in Texas.
Yes. Yeah, I'm in Texas. I'm in Dallas. I'm actually in Tarrant County, so closer to Fort Worth. People in Texas are very particular about that. Are you Dallas or are you Fort Worth?
There you go.
Yep.
Well, Tina says, great topic. I need to hear this today. So this title hooked her in. Here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to take a deep dive into this content. We're going to share even how Jill and I met. Jill is actually going to be speaking to our private firing mastermind, where Trish is going to be there next Monday. And you're going to take us on a whole 90-minute journey through some amazing things. But today, the content is free for everybody. Go ahead and share this while you're watching. The topic is the courage to keep going when you feel like giving up. Let's even talk at the very beginning where you and I met, because I believe that courage is really what we, as we look back at our life and business, courage is like the difference maker. Tell us what courage has done for you. Why is it important?
So number one, I love how we are approaching this, because you and I are just going to share some stories. And we can talk all day long about theory, about philosophies, but man, when you get to hear people's stories, doesn't it just feel like it just sticks?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it feels more real when you can put some flesh on it. So what a lot of people don't know is that maybe you were thinking about republishing your books or writing a third book. I don't know. And then I certainly was at a point where I'm like, I can't keep doing what I'm doing in the business. I knew that 100%. And then what's that?
Well, no, I was just going to give you a term for that.
Tell me.
Well, we have a term for that in business coaching, and we call it hitting the ceiling.
Hitting the ceiling. I love it.
It's everything that you're trying new things, but you're getting frustrated. Everything you try just maybe gets you a little bit ahead, and then you kind of drop behind. And it's interesting that you and I were both hitting the ceiling in different ways.
Sure.
And it does take a lot of courage when you feel like you're hitting the ceiling. Because a lot of times, and this is just what I found in my life, in order for me to stop just hitting that ceiling, I've got to look outside myself for a different capability, for a different.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's why she's my coach, folks. Listen up. I'm her publishing coach.
Right.
So we do that. But so you say that when you're hitting the ceiling, a lot of people probably fake it, or they medicate, or they distract. But you say that you have to look outside yourself. What does that mean?
Well, I think a lot of times we need to look outside ourselves, maybe not every time, but it sure is a little easier when you find a partner.
Yeah.
You find somebody who has been there before. So if I'm here and hitting a ceiling, what do I want to do? I want to look around who has broken through that ceiling before and helped me grow. In my case, you had mentioned that maybe it was on my mind to republish these books or write at the
time. I don't know. Was it?
Well, it was, but I was stuck with that. I had written two, what I think are beautiful, amazing books. And the people who have read them are, these are beautiful, amazing books. These are great books, but they were sitting on the shelf. In fact, literally, you can probably see them sitting.
I see them.
Back there.
They're fantastic. The orange ones.
But they're just sitting there, and I knew they could do more for the world. I just didn't know how. And I had, you know, I had posted a few things on social media about it, and I had done some email blasts to the people I knew. I bribed my family into buying the books.
There you go.
But I didn't have that capability to get the book to the world. And then when I met you, I'm like, well, you do. You have that capability. I know what I'm good at. I know what you're good at. So we just partnered up. We just teamed up. It takes some courage. It takes some courage to just kind of, here's my baby. And I just hand it over.
Yes, absolutely.
Magic with that, Carrie.
That's right. Well, I told this story once before, but I think this is the stuff I like. When I'm listening to speakers, I want to know like all the nitty gritty details, you know, because I think some people are listening right now, and go ahead, post this, folks. If, you know, if this is you, Donna says, hey, I'm hitting the ceiling. So thanks for your honesty, Donna. You know, here's the point though. I think that when you hit the ceiling, I certainly said to myself, this is the backstory, the nitty gritty. Mm-hmm. I had gone to Chicago, in fact, with Carolyn. Carolyn says Chicago. But I believe I was at a strategic coach meeting, and I had this experience where I literally said, I said in December, God, why am I here? All right. Like, not because, oh, it was a bad meeting. But I kept thinking, like, there's so many things I could be doing right now, you know, in the family, in the business. I why am I here? I'm taking a full day out. And then there's a gentleman who, to my left, the first guy who stood up, and he said, I just went through this situation, and I feel so much more free now. And his situation was exactly the situation that fit me. So I went up to this guy, and I said, oh my gosh, I think I know why I'm here today. I need to talk to you. And I said, tell me how you broke through. Now, do you know what he said? I don't know if I ever told you, but he said, you need to talk to Jill Young. I'm telling you, he said, you need to talk to Jill Young. I'm an EOS, Entrepreneur Operating System. And then he said this, but she'll never work with you. Because, no, I'm serious. She said she's so good and so busy that she'll never work with you. And so I'm hearing this, and you know my personality. I'm like, game on, let's go. I'm like, game on, let's go. So what I did, Jill, is I got your book. I got your book that night, and I listened to the whole book. And I said, she knows something. So let's talk about that. You were at a point where you needed help. I was at a point where I needed help. How did we come together then and create this partnership?
Well, I have to tell the other half of the story, or the story is not complete. And, you know, we don't want to leave anybody hanging with an incomplete story. But I'm going to have to bless Bill's heart for saying, she'll never work with you.
Uh-oh. You know his name now. Uh-oh. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no. He's good. He's good. So that same fall, maybe December, maybe October, January, something like that. I too, this had been on my mind. I knew I had the talent and the gift of simplifying, and I simplify into beautiful books. They just have to come out of my brain. They have no choice but to come out of my brain. In fact, I told somebody the other day, they said, you have a goal to write a book a year. And I said, I don't think I have a choice. I don't have a choice, or else this brain of mine is going to explode.
I love it.
So I was mentioning to Shannon Waller And I know Shannon's going to be a speaker at the conference. Is that
right?
Yes,
absolutely.
I want to go to the conference. I know I'm speaking at the conference. Can I please go as well?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Anytime Shannon speaks, I just gobble up all of her words of wisdom. She said, you need to talk to Cari Oberbrunner.
Mm.
Well, it's just, isn't it just beautiful how things bring us together?
Yes.
And you know, if you're listening to this, like I'm listening to our own stories because I can't help but observe, it might feel very perfect and very, serendipity, and this is a God thing and he put us together. And all of that is probably true. But please know that this had been on my heart since I first published the book in 2016.
Wow.
Overnight, I went, oh, I found this really cool guy, Cari Oberbrunner, and now everything's going to work. You didn't find me and go, oh, ta-da, everything's going to work. We both pondered about it, and we had some pain in the middle. And what I that difference between the pain and the relief of, oh, my goodness, I found this right partner.
Yes.
It's just so much better when you've been through some pain. So if you're going through some pain right now, I feel you. I've been there before with this and many other things. It's just fortunate that we get to share kind of the end of our story. And not that we're going to work together forever, but we're at the peak of this excitement.
Yes.
It's not always right there. There will be pain you've got to get through to get there.
And just because we met together and then you said, hey, I can help structure the business. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, I can help publish your book. There's even more pain. like people have to realize that change is painful. And so to republish a book, I'm going to be real for everybody. There's some pain. Like you had to go back and say, oh my gosh, I don't want to say that. Like I said that 4 years ago, that's who I was, a picture of who I was, but now I'm different. So you, just like a lot of people here, if you've written a book, tell us if you've written a book. But you had to go back and tell us some of the pain of republishing a book.
Oh, sure. I'm gonna categorize the pain of republishing in, it's letting go of something that was beautiful.
Ooh.
Or something that is even more beautiful. I'm never gonna look at these first two books and think, oh, they were a piece of crap. They weren't a piece of crap. They were good for everything that I could do for them at that point. And now I have to let go of that good thing. Look at me, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm getting
emotional. I can tell, you're getting emotional.
When you put, this is the first one, right? You put your love and beauty into this. And there were parts of it that, because Cari knows what he's doing, and I didn't know what I was doing with certain parts, he just lovingly, thank you, Cari, said, that's not going to work.
And I remember us even chatting. You said, well, we can just use the same cover.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I love this cover. I love the cover.
Yeah.
And he said, well, there's just a few things we know in publishing that cover's not going to work. It's cute. It's adorable. People may like it, but it doesn't sell. So I had to let go of that. But the way I let go of that, where it wasn't just so painful for me, because I'm big into coping.
Yes.
One of the people on the chat, I'm sorry I didn't catch your name. You said I coach with emotions.
Oh, that's good.
People with emotions. The emotion that I used is I'm going to celebrate that this thing was great for me, and now I'm just replacing it with something better. I think I also do that with my drafts. Cari?
Yes.
Writing the draft.
Do it. You get tied to it.
Say it again. What?
Like you get tied to your draft. Yeah.
I do. And then when I do the redraft, or when the editor says, "Oh, we gotta, this section's gotta go above that section," I'm like, "No, because this was so brilliant." And then I just go, "Wait a minute, but this new thing is more brilliant."
So that's so good.
Yeah. That you know, letting go of the title of the second book. I thought it was so clever.
Yeah.
So it's all about courage.
Yeah.
So I titled it In Courage, as in, see, now I have to explain it to you what it looks like. Now I have to hold it up.
Yes.
In Courage. So freaking clever, because I want you to live in the space of courage.
Right.
Where he said, when you say that on a podcast or somebody says, hey, read Jill Young's book, Encourage, they type in E-N, Encourage.
Which I did. I did that night. I absolutely typed in that and I couldn't find it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if she exists.
I know. Yeah. So it was painful, but you know, wasn't that clever and adorable? Absolutely. But if the work is so good that I want it to be exponential and I want to have power throughout the world, if I would like it to ignite souls,
yes,
I choose to let go of that cleverness. And there you go.
This is so good, Jill. This is so good. So Jill, I love what you're saying. And then you started coaching our business and I knew there were things that we needed to fix and change. And that was painful.
Yeah.
Even down to, I would say mostly, me letting go of control. Mm. You know, I mean, hey, back when the company's small and you can control it and know every client and make every decision, it feels real safe and secure, but you can't grow. So mm-hmm. How have you seen entrepreneurs struggle with that? Maybe some people are watching, just like change in business.
So what I have noticed, and this is over 600 sessions with entrepreneurial leadership teams, is that the pain of letting go of those things you've always had control over is not in the actual letting go.
Okay.
The pain is in the thought of letting go.
Mm.
When you actually do let go, that is not a painful experience.
Okay.
When you really say, hey, I'm not going to run this meeting, Brenda, you run that meeting, you sit in the meeting, 90% of the time, that experience is not painful.
But it's the thought.
It was 3 days before, it was a week before, it was a month before, it was a year before when someone said, you've got to delegate, you can't be running this whole thing on your own.
Yeah.
It's thought that's painful. It's not the actual doing of it. I actually have a little correlation that sometimes I share with leaders, and it's actually in how I write books.
Let's hear it. Hey, we got writing tips.
Kind of great. And I noticed just on the chat, I have ADD, so sometimes I read the chat. Trying to focus.
I saw.
Some people are stuck. Somebody said, I'm stuck at 20,000 words and I just can't do it anymore.
Yes.
What I also get stuck, and this is what I've learned about myself, and Carrie, you're probably a master of this. I'm probably singing to the choir. No, well, and maybe not, because we had a chat.
No, not. Yeah.
When it the painful part or the part where I'm stuck is when I'm thinking about the book.
Mm.
And when I'm thinking to myself, I have no idea what the next chapter is going to be. I have no idea if anybody's going to like this book. I do a J curve every single book I've written, every single article I've written, every talk I've written, every keynote engagement mm-hmm. that I've written. I do this. I get super excited and I start working on it. And then my confidence goes clear down here.
Oh, wow.
But it always comes back up.
Interesting.
Now I've learned that I am going to hit this. And I know that when I hit that bottom, so whoever was stuck on 20,000 words.
We got her here, Kathleen.
Kathleen, yes. There you go. When you're down at the bottom, that's your signal that you're ready to go back up again.
Ooh, that's so good.
I now embrace that. And I say, I'm worried. I'm stuck. This nasty feeling. And then I know I'm ready to come back up on that. But here's the one trick.
Okay, let's hear it.
I found everyone loves tricks and tips.
Yes.
Is I must open my computer and put my fingers on the keyboard.
Ooh.
I have to put my fingers on the keyboard. And here's what I've experienced 90% of the time. When I put my fingers on the keyboard, that's when the words start flowing. If I'm in the shower or driving or if I'm on a run and I'm like, I have no idea how, you know, I don't know what's going to come and I'm stuck. I don't allow myself to ruminate at that point anymore because it's not productive. But man, when I put my fingers on the keyboard and I just start typing, that's when it flows.
Interesting. So really, really the battle for you is getting the butt in the chair. Right.
I have to open the laptop. Jill, you have to open the laptop. And even though, here's the crazy thing, even though I know that and I'm sharing my secret with everybody, even though I know that, I still, you know what I do? I wander around, I get an apple, Cheetos.
I start cleaning my office for the first time in years.
I look at something and I go, oh, I haven't, maybe that'll give me an idea. And I wonder and I think, oh no, I got to do some jumping jacks first.
Wow.
I should meditate before I write. I'll meditate. But no, Jill, I have to tell myself, Jill, open the computer, sit your butt down, open the computer.
Wow. Because I get it. Writing is an isolation sport, you know, like you have to get quiet. And that's why I think a lot of people struggle because we as humanity, we're kind of scared to get alone with our thoughts because then all the self-limiting beliefs come out. Will people like it? All those things. So let's talk a little bit about partnering because there's a lot of people right here. How many of you would benefit immensely from a partnership like Jill and I were able to create? What kind of some people might even find their partner here. What partnership are you looking for? And more importantly, what partnership can you give? And let's talk about that point because you can't have a partnership if you don't know who you are and if you don't know what your unique ability is. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. You know, this, for me to find my unique ability, I'm still finding it because I'm never going to be done growing and reinventing myself. But for me to find something that I loved and was in my genius zone and that the world needed, I'm 45. Hello, wrinkles and all. I'm 45, and I really feel like I came into this when I was about 42.
Okay.
So, and you may be younger than me, older than me, but the reason I share that is because I think there's some pressure to find it earlier. That if I don't know my unique ability right now, if I don't know what I have to offer to the world, oh no, but it takes some time.
It does.
Finding my unique ability when it's to inspire people to be their best. At its very deepest level, inspire people to be their best, which the way I do that is through coaching, which is just helping people be their best. But to find that, I needed to have lots of rich experiences. So if you're feeling like you don't know your unique ability, get out there and try things and write a book, edit a book, try your hand at marketing a book, whatever you want to do, whatever your unique ability.
Part of it is experimental. You have to be taking shots. Yeah.
In fact, I talk about that in Courage. The book in Courage is the courage to experiment. So you have to find that. But once I did, it was so much more, I was so much more confident going into our partnership. Because when I saw you and your company in the stage where you were, just everybody wants what you have, and your company had to keep up with that.
Yeah. So
you're hitting a ceiling. I knew that I had a solution for you. I was so confident in my ability to help that I felt very confident going into the partnership. If you're hesitant going into the partnership, that's a spooky place to be.
Ooh, that's good.
Sometimes when you go into a partnership, you're thinking, what can I get from this person?
Yes.
And the reason Carrie and I's partnership works really well is that Carrie actually introduced me to this phrase. We look at each other and we're trying to over-serve each other. And
that
works so well.
Yes. In fact, you over-served our team today by watching our meeting and providing 6 pages of notes what we did well and what we need to work on. And then, absolutely. Like we're busting our butts and Abby's been great for you. To get your projects out. And the new books are amazing. The old books were amazing too, but the new books are amazing.
They're just better, right?
Yeah.
They're just a little better.
Absolutely. And let's talk about this. We have a few more points, but let's talk about, we jotted them before. So folks, you don't need a big plan. We just jotted a few thoughts here. but we talk about this cash confidence because I know one of our mentors, Dan Sullivan, talks about that. But I think that was partially, if people are listening today and they say, I don't have cash confidence, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You can still form a partnership. I've had plenty and you've had plenty and they've worked and not worked. Mm-hmm. But to be a cash, what does it mean to have a cash confident partnership? And how do you think that contributes to the success even faster? And folks, this is gold. This is stuff nobody's talking about. Okay, so listen to this.
So for me, and then I'll ask you the same thing, why it works for you. In society, there's a few things that we don't talk about. Mm. We don't talk about money is one of them.
Religion and politics.
There you go. Thank you. I wasn't going to go there because we don't talk about them.
No. Right.
But one of them is money. So when you start a partnership with somebody, you know, you work out a deal, whatever we want to call it, we don't like to talk about money, even when you're selling something, not even in kind of a partnership situation, but when you're selling something to somebody, nobody likes to talk about the price or the value or the guarantee or the contract, right? We say, we'll send you the contract. And then all the details are in there. We don't love to talk about it.
Right.
So when we say cash confidence, what that means to me is I'm at a place in my business where I don't need your cash in order for me to feed my family, pay my rent, pay my people. I don't need it. Of course, it would help me reach my goals and all of that stuff, but I need it. So money then for me becomes, it's not even a thing for me at this point when I'm looking at our partnership. What is more valuable to me than you paying me for my services is partnering with you and collaborating with you to use your capabilities.
Yes.
So now, because I've partnered with you, I gain a capability, which to me at this point, because I'm cash confident, is more valuable. Important than money.
It's more valuable.
It's more valuable than money.
See, and that's an amazing place to be. And I haven't always been there for sure. And you probably haven't either.
I haven't always been there.
But, you know, Joyce asked
orders to pay rent. I remember very clearly.
Well, and Joyce says cash confidence, and this is why we're explaining it. Because, folks, I think that this is gold, and I think nobody really wants to talk about this stuff. But we are willing to, because we want you to create other partnerships. This is part of the gold that's going to happen at Igniting Souls Conference. But it is almost like a competition where when we show up in Texas, your team tries to outserve us. And then when our team's talking to you, we try to outserve you. And the point is that it's actually fun and it's helpful. Like, you see the business increase. And here's what else happens. Referrals. Would I refer anyone to Jill? Absolutely. And Jill's already referred people to us. So you're one up there. Now I got to outserve you.
Hey, Carrie, can I just say one more thing about cash confidence that might help? I think sometimes if we said cash confidence, sometimes people would be looking at their bank account saying, well, but I still need to earn money.
Oh yeah. So do I. So do you.
And so do I. Yeah. So I want to also just offer cash confidence as more of a mindset.
Yes.
That in this partnership right here, what we are exchanging, what we are serving each other with is our capabilities.
Oh, that's good.
So we're still exchanging value. It's just not dollars.
Yeah. Because otherwise we would really keep track. I mean, there's a point, and let me give an example. Because again, this is we got to write it. Maybe we co-author a book on this. Maybe. Just think about it. Who knows? I don't know. I got to finish my first one. But oh man, where was I going? Normally we keep track. Normally we keep track where it's like Jill just referred a client to us, so we send you, you know, money.
Right.
And now we're even. And then and then Carrie did something, and okay, now Jill sends him money. Okay, now we're even. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like this evening focus instead of the value focus.
And you use the word focus, and I'm gonna dig in on that, because now what we're worried about is staying even. But that's a low bar. don't want to be even. I want to overserve you.
Yes.
Why would we be working to get even? That's like working for a C. Overserve each other and have A pluses. So that's the money thing. When you're not focused on the money, that can go out the door, and now you just focus on capabilities and overserving.
Yes. Yes.
So it's mindset. It's a mindset. Even if you still need to build up your bank account, it's confidence.
And I'll show you how this works, folks, in a practical way. Like, we normally do send a referral for someone, and Jill's like, just keep it. And then it came up like, hey, Jill wants this done. And I'm like, go do it. You know, like, in other words, our team is it's transformational instead of transactional. And I think that when you can get to, when you can get to that level in the business, that's where every human, I mean, imagine if every human relationship was like that. That would be a little woo-woo crazy. But I mean, that would be awesome.
It would be awesome. Yeah. We're just running some experiments.
That's right. I know you'd give Dan Sullivan credit, because now you're coaching their team. But I really got that concept from Dan Sullivan, that whole free zone frontier.
For sure.
In the free zone frontier, I have a free zone frontier with Dan Sullivan where, again, he's a simplifier, I'm a multiplier. And let's talk a little bit about that, because some people are sitting here right now, they've heard Dan share on my channel before, but you were a simplifier. I needed a massive simplifier, because my head is just a lot of complexity in there. And you needed a multiplier. So talk about that. And I know what people say, I do both. Yeah. But Dan shot him and said, no. Dan said, you're a complicator.
Yes. If you try to.
Yeah. So talk about it.
Number one, Dan Sullivan is absolutely brilliant. All the time, right? All the time. And I know your followers listen to him too. The first thing I'd like to start with this simplifier multiplier is just knowing first who you really are and claiming it. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, if you really say to yourself, I'm both, you might be not observing yourself as much as you could. Hmm. You might be saying to yourself, I can do both. But the key here that Dan would even say is that you, which one are you naturally inclined to do? Which one could you do over and over again? And then even again, if you look through that and say, I'm still both. I'm a simplifier and a multiplier, and that makes you a complicator. Think about how those two concepts go together. A complicator, you're going to hit the ceiling.
Oh, that's good.
You are going to hit the ceiling. So, fair warning, if you don't know what you are, do your deep work, figure it out. I'm a social person. I'm an extrovert. Mm-hmm. I want 1,000 friends instead of 4 close friends. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people look at me and go, well, you're obviously a multiplier and you're so friendly and you can connect people and you talk to everybody and you put these books out. So, more people can learn from your knowledge. Not so. That was all accident. If anybody has bought my book, it's been by accident.
There you go.
But what I do really, really well is I absorb information and I observe leadership teams and I can remember things. And then I put them into a simple little book.
Yes.
Really helps people understand big, giant, complex concepts in 4 easy steps.
Yes.
So that's what I do. And I can see it. It's out there in the world. I read somebody's big, complicated book and I say, well, what they're really saying is 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
And I don't think it's brilliant, but the rest of the world needs it. They need that certification. So the first part in that is me knowing who I really am. Second part, I want to be a multiplier. I think it's pretty sexy. I think what you do is really awesome.
Yeah.
And fascinating to me. So I want to be a multiplier. And I think the world thinks multipliers are super cool. So I try to be a multiplier, but it's the letting go. I'm not a multiplier.
Yeah.
And then it feels
that so was free. Yes. Yes.
I feel so free when I do that. Do I still sometimes look at you and go, gosh, that would be really cool to be a multiplier? Yeah, right. But that's just some of the mystery of Carrie Oberbrenner. We don't know.
Well, I know what some people are thinking, like, Carrie, but you've written, I don't know, whatever, 7, 8 books. You must be a simplifier. The thing is, like, it's very difficult for me to write a book. Like, it's taxing. Why do you think Abby's got to be on me so much? I can't wait to market the book once we get it, but it's like, I gotta, so it's massively brain power to do that. And it doesn't mean you can't do the other, but I would love, that's why I love marketing people's books, because I'm like, cool, you got the goodness. Let's also talk about, because I love what Wanda says here. Wanda says, can I be both at different times? Yes, but the problem is, check this out. Dan said this the other day. It's great. Multipliers aren't looking for both multipliers and simplifiers.
Oh,
see what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to find your exact other capability person out there if you're just like, well, I'm 70-20. You know, or that doesn't even need, you know, I can't multiply. 7:30. You know what I'm saying, though? But you see what I'm saying? Like, you need to be confident that you are a multiplier or you are a simplifier. Otherwise, you're not going to attract the other person.
That's brilliant. And Wanda, something that Dan has also said to our group is that sometimes we feel we can be both or we are both because we've had to be both.
Yes. Oh, I've had to be both.
It's absolutely a little bit of looking at your life, at your past as more of a gift. And my past was great. I had to do both these things. Awesome. I did that. And now I'm reinventing myself to my true spirit, my true core. And I am a simplifier. Have I had to multiply in the past? Absolutely. I grew 2 CPA firms. You can't do that without some multiplying activities.
Yeah. So you can do it. But
sure.
The question is, should you, and is it your highest value?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a choice too. It's a conscious choice on my part to go, and anytime I get stressed, now I look at it and say, am I trying to multiply? Oh, I am. Stop it.
Wow. That is so good. That is so good. And there's a lot of solopreneurs here. And when you are a solopreneur, you kind of do both in the beginning, and that's okay. But not every time do you need this big money bank account to go out and hire the talent. What we're saying today, you can find the talent.
Which is so beautiful about the gig economy right now. And the gig economy is even, you know, just busting at the seams now because we are working from home. Like, everybody is basically feeling like a gig, like they work in the economy. Just with all of the resources out there to find specialized people who know how to do what you need done, and they can be anywhere in the world. And I know I'm singing to the choir. So if you're still seeing yourself as a solopreneur, that actually might be helping you hit that ceiling.
Ooh, that's
versus, you know, solopreneur, just right in the title means I am my business.
I have to be both. I have to be everything.
Yeah. And I am your business. And I'm just going to give you a little nugget of truth right here. I used to love to do this when I was at the CPA firm. Somebody would come into the firm and they'd say, I'm going to start a new business. And the very first thing I would teach them is you are not your business.
Ooh, that's good.
Legally, it's a whole separate entity. So you can't say I'm a solopreneur. Here's your business and here's you.
Mm.
They're not the same. So solopreneur might, that feeling like I'm the only one who works in my business. No, you might be the simplifier or the multiplier, but you know you have a team around you.
Wow.
You pay them once a quarter for a graphics design, something that they do, but maybe just start thinking of your business as a business. It's not you.
That's so good. Well, I know we just have a few more minutes here. Let's talk about the conference, because we are absolutely excited to bring you into the Igniting Souls Conference. You are going to be giving this amazing talk on this topic about courage. Can you hold up your book one more time? The old version.
That's right.
In Courage. We still love it. And but we're talking about today. I mean, courage to not be a simplifier. Courage to stop pretending you're a multiplier. Courage to create a free zone frontier. What else? Courage to admit your unique ability.
Ceiling. Yeah.
Yeah. So why do you think courage is one of these things that A, is worth a keynote speech? Because I think it is. But why do you think so many other results hinge upon courage?
So I wrote the book two years ago, maybe came out last July for the first time. And the reason why I even wrote it is because somebody was considering working with me. And they said, Jill, I know why this system works. I know why EOS works. Everybody uses it. All my friends use it. I know why it works. Why doesn't it work?
Oh, that's a good question.
So I, you know, we had a really good discussion about it, but then I hung up the phone and I just, like, the question wouldn't come out of my mind. So I just went to work observing, and I started thinking about the clients who had started the system all excited. And then and then they're like, oh no, this is painful. And then right here at this J curve, just before they were ready to come out, they just went, I can't handle it.
There are some businesses like that.
There are. And especially in the midst of change, in the midst of writing your book where you feel that way and you're like, nobody will want it anyway, I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
So what I did is I dug into the psychology and I observed their stories and their excuses and their reasons. And what it all boiled down to was fear. And when I finally found what I thought the answer was, It was just a captain obvious, because there's so many books that you read that fear holds us back, and fear and fear and fear, you know, is it kind of the basis of everything? But when I looked at if these companies didn't survive or didn't thrive because of fear, what did the companies do that are thriving, that are in it? And what they do is they live in courage.
Courage. Love it.
They know that the thought is freaking them out. It's not the actual action. So that's why I wrote the book. But why it's so timely right now is we are being bombarded with fear.
Oh, absolutely.
Bombarded in our personal lives, in our businesses, and you know, the solopreneurs who are just getting off the ground or maybe struggling to get off the ground. The whole book is full of ways to look at fear and say, no, thank you.
Yes.
So they're applicable. That's funny, Trista. You're like, oh my, that's me.
Yes.
Look at the fear and say, no, thank you. And the book is just packed with specific ways that you can do that. It's not, there's maybe 1% theory in there. And then
practical ways.
Things that actual people are doing to just say no, thank you to fear.
Wow. So listen, it is fearful to attend a conference. I mean,
you're going to have to explain that, because I love conferences.
Well, you do. Maybe it's the introvert in me speaking. Maybe. But I am an introvert. So let's talk about this. There's a lot of people who are saying, oh my gosh, you're in my brain. We just heard this one. You are in my brain. Donna says that. Laura says the news is full of fear. Wanda says my life is surrounded by fear. So first of all, folks, if you found value in Jill today, which I know you did, we've gotten so many shares already, share this, tag somebody. But Jill, let's also talk about a conference, because I went live 16 days ago and said our 10th anniversary, we're making experiential. We don't want to call it virtual, because virtual is passive and we want to create, but it's going to essentially be online. That took courage. Let me tell you what, I will tell you, I did not sleep well for a few nights, because I just feared, oh my gosh, we're going to lose the connection with people. We're going to lose serving people. And we found this amazing platform that actually allows total engagement. But why do you think people fear attending a live event or even just saying, I'm going to invest in myself and do this virtual conference called the Igniting Souls Conference? Why is it so scary for us to invest in ourselves or step out of our comfort zone and go to a conference?
There's something we know about change, and people say this a lot, that that change is scary. Mm. So we love certainty. We love certainty. Human beings love certainty. If I've been to your conference 10 years in a row, and this one's going to be different, then I'm uncertain what I'm going to experience.
Ooh.
So we say to ourselves, people fear change, but what we don't. We don't fear change. We fear loss.
So, ooh, that's good. We don't fear change. We fear loss.
So if I'm thinking to myself, I'm certain what I would have gotten if I go in person, but now it's unknown. I don't know what I'm going to get. It's that loss of what we thought we were going to get.
But again, interesting.
It's just a thought. So this is my experience, because I went through this same thing, you guys. Just being vulnerable, I had the chance to be a keynote speaker at the EOS conference. Now, this is a big deal for me. I was selected to be the only other EOS implementer other than the founder of the group that had ever keynoted the conference.
Yes.
150 of us. Oh my gosh, this was just a big experience. So I was going to be on a big stage with lots of lights and the camera, so I could get all of those really good sound bites and little camera bites for marketing. And it was just going to be so great. And of course, I wanted to serve the audience. It was going to be awesome. And then they said, it's going to be virtual. And I'm like, oh, no, the loss, right? Fear of loss. I don't get to be there. I don't get to hug the people. I don't get to see the audience laughing with me. I'm here. I was here in my session when I did the keynote. But here's what all of my fear was in my mind. When I actually did it, it was experiential.
It was fantastic. I was there, by the way. I saw it online, and social media was blowing up, and she created a ton of engagement. And seriously, and it was fantastic. And people didn't say or feel, because I talked to people privately too, they didn't feel the loss.
No, that's the thing. I feared the loss. Yeah. I never once felt it. Here's some just plain old facts for you.
Yeah.
If I would have done that virtual conference, I could have impacted and communicated with 1,500 people. But because of the virtual environment, there were over 4,000 people that I got to communicate with. It's an opportunity. Here's another one. I also attended the conference. Right. And I got to have conversations with people I would have never had conversations with. I got to see all of the chat logs and really be having conversations with many people at the same time. I got to watch the conference over and over again. And now that I've had this new experience, I look back at that and say, I love live events. But yeah. I think the virtual, there needs to be some kind of a virtual option to everything.
Just
heightened the experience. So I think we're having a revolution with
speaking. I think so too.
Absolutely. People don't need to have the cost of travel this year. Right. I mean, that's a bonus. We're all watching our bank accounts. So the cost of travel and hotel rooms. And there just absolutely are ways to engage. We just needed to get a little creative. And with the power of technology, we just absolutely did it. And I know you're planning on doing the same thing.
We are thrilled. Erica's going to drop the link. I know a bunch of you have already got your ticket. If you'd have,
hey, I'll see you there.
Type in got mine. But your example is so good. And I'll close with a crazy Starbucks story. You ready for this? Last night, my daughter, who's 12, came to me and said, Dad, can you take us to Starbucks tonight? And I was like, sure, it's all good. So we went there, and sure enough, we pull up Jill to the sign, and it says S'mores Frappuccino, like the new one, okay? Yeah. Okay. I don't know if you ever know about this. And yeah. Guess what? All my three kids say, oh my gosh, look at that s'mores frappuccino. That's what I want. But they all have their other favorite drink, the pink mm-hmm. drink, the vanilla bean, and who knows, something else. And guess what? Only one of my kids got the s'more. The other two got their favorites.
Yeah.
And I just was quiet the whole way back. You know, they're all like looking around the other one and saying, oh, I should have got that one. Don't you think that that's what this whole fear is? Like loss, but what if it's better?
Yes. Yes. What if it's better? There's a story I actually tell and encourage about encouraging Dylan to try a new restaurant.
Oh, and yeah. I said,
on a Saturday, you know, we go to lunch on Saturdays and he says, but what if it's gross? And I said, well, what if it's the very best thing we've ever had and it's been around the corner from our house this whole time?
Oh, that's good.
We tried it. It actually was gross, but that's beside the point. But now we know.
But sometimes it's good, but right. The word entrepreneur means bearer of risk. Yeah. And you have to be willing to let go of what you have for what you might get. I mean, that is like life in a sentence.
Well, that's exactly what I did with the republishing of the two books, right? If we're taking the topic full circle, I had to let go a little bit of the beauty I put into the first two books to help them be reborn into the new books.
I love it.
And we're not going to really get to where we're going unless we do step into courage.
That's true. Folks, yeah. That's why I asked Jill to come. That's why, hold that book up one more time.
Oh, sure.
And that's why, Encourage, you can get it on Amazon for a limited time because that's the new book's coming out. So you better get that one, get both of them. But Jill, it was amazing to be with you today. I think I'm going to re-listen to this. I think there's a whole teaching there about this whole partnership thing going on. But you already have someone who says, I just got my ticket. So again, we do have limited tickets, and you might say, how can you have limited virtual tickets? You know, and I know.
Oh, we do.
They put seats, mm-hmm. and they say, this is all our platform can hold.
That's right.
You can't even buy anymore. So that's get right. your ticket. Where can people find out more about you?
Best way to connect with me is on LinkedIn. If you just search Jill Young Texas, I usually come right up. That's a good way to connect with me. I love to connect with everybody, so please do. I'll recognize your names from the chat. So
yes. And tractionfirst.com.
Of course. Yep. Tractionfirst.com.
Well, sure. thanks for being here, everybody. And make sure you get your tickets so you can see Jill. And Jill, thank you for being here today.
Awesome. I really look forward to being with everybody in October. It's going to be fun.
It is.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.